Again, our sermon text is 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's theme, as you will hopefully see, is thankfulness. He is thankful to his God for many things, but especially for his gospel associate, Timothy. So let us read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is the holy word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. Let's ask for God's help as we come to our sermon. Let's pray. Father, we pray for grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as you spoke in the beginning, and it was so, so now, God, you would speak, and it would be so. That instead of the briar would come up the myrtle. That your word would accomplish the purposes which you have for it, even through the words of this sermon. Bless us all your people, we pray. Amen. Certain people are just Eeyores. Eeyore, you know that donkey creature from Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore, as he contemplated one situation, thought, end of the road, nothing to do, and no hope of things getting better. Eeyore, when he contemplated his tail, said this: it's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it. Again, Eeyore is a depressing sort of guy because when he looks at the world, all he sees is doom and gloom. But the sad thing about Eeyore is the thing that makes him funny is that he's actually very realistic. We know people like Eeyore. I know a pastor, I was just at General Assembly, and every time I see him, I say, how are things going at the church? And without fail, he always talks about how things could be improved. Every single time, it's so sad. He says something like, well, attendance is down. We're having a season of conflict at the church. Tithing is down. Again, he's always down. Because this pastor, I love him, but he's always and ever only looking at the things of this life. And if you are always and ever looking at the things of this life, sometimes you'll have reason to be thankful, and sometimes you'll have reason to complain. And many times you'll just simply be an Eeyore. But Paul is not an Eeyore, because Paul is always looking not at earthly things. No, Paul is always looking at spiritual things, which is why Paul is always bursting with gratitude. Paul is always, almost always, thankful. If you read Paul's 13 letters, almost every one, maybe except Galatians, check me on that, but almost every single one of his letters begins with thankfulness. Begins with a greeting, and then a time of thanksgiving. Why is Paul so thankful? In answering that question, we'll answer the question as to why you should always be thankful and why I should always be thankful. And the answer very simply for our sermon is this: you have, as a Christian, lots and lots to be thankful for. And since you have lots and lots to be thankful for, as a Christian, you should express that gratitude to God often. So for today's sermon, tonight's sermon, very simply, I want you to see all that you have to be grateful for in Christ, and then I want you to express that gratitude to God frequently. Two main things that you should be grateful for, and these will be our 2 points of our sermon. First, thank God for spiritual relationships. Thank God for spiritual relationships. Again, hopefully you heard Paul's mood as he begins penning this letter. It's brimming with gratitude. And we see his gratitude especially for spiritual relationships. Let's look at 3 things in our sermon text. First, spiritual friendship. Spiritual friendship. He's writing to his gospel associate Timothy. And it's hard not to hear his tone of love and joy as he contemplates this brother in Christ. Hear verse 2. To Timothy, my beloved child. 2 Timothy, you might know, is Paul's last letter. As he writes this, he is awaiting execution. And at this point in Paul's life, he's probably known Timothy for around 10 to 15 years. So he's known Timothy for a very long time. If you read the book of Acts and you see from chapter 16 on, Paul and Timothy are with each other a lot. And even you read Paul's letters and Timothy is mentioned in 10 of 13 of them. So now we have to ask ourselves, what is the basis of this friendship? Again, you might say to yourself, well, they traveled the Mediterranean basin a lot together. Perhaps it's just that natural camaraderie that two people share when they travel together. Maybe it's their cultural backgrounds. Both have Jewish and Greek backgrounds. Perhaps it's their shared culture. Perhaps that's the basis of their friendship. Both appear to be very well educated. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's an intellectual friendship. No, it's none of those things, actually. It is a spiritual relationship. Look at verse 2. Notice what he mentions. To Timothy, my beloved child. Now, obviously, that's a metaphor, right? They're not blood related. No, they're spiritually related. Paul has adopted Timothy as his child. He's mentored him in the ways of the Lord. He's taught him how to be a pastor. And so it is this deep bond that they share as Christians. It's this deep bond that Paul can call him child. And again, it is that bond, it is for that bond that God, or that rather that Paul gives thanks to God for. Again, Paul gives thanks to God for this spiritual relationship, the spiritual friendship. Now, I bet you probably know Paul's conversion story, right? Heaven split open. Voice says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then Saul's sort of blinded, right? He needs to be led by the hand. Right? And then something like scales falls from his eyes, right? Again, super famous conversion. But do you know Timothy's? Do you know Timothy's conversion? Again, Paul would not have a spiritual friend if Timothy had not been converted. So how did Timothy come to know the Lord? Through the year-by-year passing down of the faith from his mom and his grandma. Through the ordinary means that God has instituted to pass down the faith. Timothy was raised in a praying, in a believing household. And Paul gives thanks to God for that. First, he gives thanks to God for this spiritual friendship. Secondly, he gives thanks for this spiritual heritage that Timothy has. Look down at verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Paul gives thanks to God for just this ordinary passing down of the faith. See, in verse 3, he even mentions his own ancestors. Again, there's a faith heritage that Paul gives thanks for. Now, there's something that happened to you this morning. Unremarkable, but super important. Before you put your left shoe on, before you put your right shoe on, I hope you put both of your shoes on, not just one of them. You put both of your shoes on this morning, but something happened before. And if this thing did not happen, it would have been a very bad day for you and a very bad day for me. As you put your head on your pillow last night, the earth did something. Traveled about 10,000 miles. It rotated 10,000 miles. And the result for you and for me is that what we say is that the sun rose. Now you say, oh, that's so boring. It happens every single day. Boring, yes. Ordinary, yes. Important, also yes. Something being ordinary does not diminish its importance. Bringing it back to 2 Timothy, being raised in a believing household is not all that interesting. Again, as Christians, we sort of long to hear of the radical conversion stories. And we can give thanks to God for those. We can give thanks that Paul was converted. We'd not have as big a New Testament if he weren't converted. But what gets Paul giddy? What gets him giddy? Why does he thank God? Because of this ordinary means of children, of parents teaching their children the faith. Again, Timothy grew up in a believing Jewish household. He would have cited the Shema every single day. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. He would have prayed with his mother and his grandmother frequently. His mom and his grandma, it doesn't appear that his dad believed, but they at least would have told him of the Lord's commandments as they sat in their house, as they went by the way, as they lay down and as they rose. And they taught Timothy the scriptures. If you can flip there if you want to, but in chapter 3, verse 15, Paul can write this of Timothy. Timothy, you have been acquainted with these scriptures from childhood, from your earliest age. Why? Well, because Grandma Lois and Mama Eunice taught them to you. And again, for Paul, this isn't, well, that's just sort of what they're supposed to do. That's supposed to happen. No, this is something, even though it's ordinary, that Paul lifts up to God in gratitude. It's something that makes him happy, and he mentions it to God in gratitude. So again, what is Paul thankful for? He's thankful to God for a spiritual friend, but he's thankful to God for the spiritual heritage of his friend too. But again, it's not those things merely. It's also that this is a spiritual friendship and a spiritual heritage that have produced something. This is not a fruitless friendship. It is not a fruitless heritage. No. Paul gives thanks thirdly for the spiritual fruit that he sees in Timothy's life. Look at verse 5. Again, this is all under his thankfulness. This is all under verse 3. He's thanking God, and then verse 5 he says, in a spirit of thankfulness, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Paul looks at Timothy's faith, he sees its sincerity, and he gives thanks to God. And even though he's been brought up in the ordinary means of grace, even though we should, again, if we pray with our children, teach them the Bible, should expect them to come to faith, nothing is certain in this fallen world. You maybe don't know the name of Demas. Demas was a companion of Paul. Demas, presumably, also traveled with Paul. He's mentioned in 3 of 13 letters, so not as many as Timothy. But again, he knew Paul. Again, it's pretty nice to know a guy who writes the Bible. That's pretty cool. That's a useful guy to know. That's a guy you can trust. And yet, even having this great relationship with the great Apostle Paul, he will write at the end of this letter, Demas has fallen in love with the world, and he has forsaken Christ. He had a temporary faith, faith that grew up among the rocks and didn't come to fruition. But not Timothy. Timothy's faith is genuine. He trusts in God and he's not going to let him go. And that makes Paul give thanks. That makes Paul give gratitude to his God. And again, why is Paul giving thanks? I want to reiterate this. He's not giving thanks because he's having a great week. He's giving thanks for spiritual things. Spiritual fruit, a spiritual friend, and a spiritual heritage. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, I'm only 8 years old, and I don't have any spiritual friends. Or you might claim to yourself, well, I didn't grow up in a Christian household. That's true of me. I did not grow up in a Christian household. Does that mean that I don't have a Christian heritage? Now, I could wax very eloquently about our beloved Westminster Standards, which I know you have a copy under your pillow and you read every morning and every evening. I know that's what you do. I don't even need to ask you. I don't even need to probe because I already know the answer. So before I wax eloquently on the great heritage that we all have in our shared theology, which is wonderful, I won't do that. I won't wax eloquent. But we can pretend that you have no spiritual heritage. And we can pretend that you have no spiritual friends. Even though you're a member of the family of God. I know it's ridiculous, but we're just going to pretend on those things. No spiritual heritage, no spiritual friends. We're just going to pretend, for sake of argument. Even though it's a teensy, tiny, itsy bit possible to pretend that you don't have those things, it is not possible to pretend that you cannot see spiritual fruit around you. It is impossible. The church is an orchard. The church is an orchard. You look inside yourself and out in the church, and you should be seeing acts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. What are the other ones? Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are a Christian, you should always be seeing these things. And, by the way, you also have a wonderful spiritual heritage, and you're a member of the family of God. So you have all three. But especially, as a Christian, you should be able to see spiritual fruit. So what should you do when you see these things and things like them? Number one, obviously, you should thank God. Prayers of thanksgiving should be frequently on your lips. Now again, we are very quick to see the needs that we have, even spiritual needs. There are lots of spiritual needs. Lots of people we want to see saved. Lots of relationships in the church that are shaky. And again, we are very prone, aren't we, to just jump to spiritual needs and physical needs. But I would remind you that we have lots to be grateful for. And so we should always be praising God for what He has given us. So thank God for the church. Thank God for other Christians. Thank God for non-spiritual things too, but also especially for spiritual things. And then number two, and this is going to take some splaining. One, thank God. Two, pay Christian compliments. Pay Christian compliments. What is a Christian compliment? Notice what Paul does. Notice what Paul does. He actually tells Timothy that he is thankful to God for his genuine faith. What does Paul not do? Paul does not thank Timothy for his genuine faith. Why? Because God is the author of every good and perfect gift. All of our goodness, all of our perseverance, all of our faith, faith is a gift. It's all from God, right? Paul does not thank Timothy for the goodness that he sees. No, he thanks God. But he tells Timothy. He tells Timothy that he sees genuine faith in him. And so he tells Timothy by way of letter, I thank God for your genuine faith. It's a Christian compliment. You can do that too. Christians are allowed to compliment other Christians in this manner. You are allowed to thank God for someone's service. See someone serving in the church? Thank God and then tell that person, hey, I thank God that you are serving without complaining. That does two things. Gives glory to God and builds up that brother or that sister. But again, open your eyes. Open your eyes and you will see that there is tons and tons and tons to be thankful for. So express that gratitude to God and then pay people Christian compliments. What have we seen so far? We've seen point number one, we should thank God for the spiritual things that he's doing, especially in the church. Especially in the church. Spiritual relationships, spiritual fruit. Point two, I want you to see that you should give thanks to God for spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. So again, hopefully you've picked up that, you know, you squeeze the Apostle Paul, you wring him out, and what comes out? Gratitude. Ounces and ounces and ounces of gratitude. But we cannot romanticize Paul's life. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, you know that he's had a pretty hard life. And as I've already mentioned, he's sitting in a prison, which ancient prisons, by the way, were not super nice, from what I've been told. He's sitting in a prison awaiting a death sentence. Ever since Paul has come to Jesus Christ, he's had a pretty rough life. Again, just remember, again, we're trying to thank God for spiritual blessings, but I really want to drive home the fact that Paul has had a hard life. Because if anyone had a right to complain or to gripe about his life, it was Paul. It was Paul. He writes this in 2 Corinthians. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned and left for dead. And yet Paul, he finishes the race. He keeps the faith. And again, at the very end of his life, he's keeping the faith. He's finishing the race at the end of a very hard life. Again, he's not gritting his teeth. No, he's bursting with gratitude. Why? It's because Paul has received something precious. It's because something amazes Paul. Since the day he became a Christian, something has amazed Paul. Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and here it is. According to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Why has Paul kept going all these years? What has motivated him? Why has he endured all of that suffering? It's this right here. It's this phrase, the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Paul has received life in Jesus Christ. Paul has received a perfect salvation through Jesus Christ the Savior. This is the life of which Paul writes. And again, this is not something that Paul earned. It's not something that he attained. And again, if anyone could have attained it, not you, not me, it would have been Paul. Would have been Paul. He was a really good religious dude. But even he did not come close. He did not come close in God's eyes to attaining this life, this free gift. Because he, like you, like me, was dead in his sins, like the rest of mankind. But God was gracious to Paul. God was gracious to Paul. And he opened his heart and he gave him this life. And Paul received Jesus Christ by faith. And Paul, just like every child of God, the second he believed in Jesus, received this life that is in Christ Jesus. So again, those beatings, they still hurt. Being betrayed and forsaken by gospel companions, that hurt too. But more than the pain and the suffering and the betrayal, nothing could take away this precious gift that Paul received. And so it is because Paul received this gift that he could not lose, and he lived a life of constant gratitude to God. Because God had given him this perfect gift, and God would never take it away. Paul received this gift, and he gave thanks. It's what he did. From the day he received this life, Paul had to live a life of gratitude to God. You look on our missionary board downstairs. Many of you know our missionary, Susan. She works with women and children in South Africa. And if you know the work that she's doing, you know it is not glamorous at all. This woman deals with very heavy things. She deals with drug addictions, single mothers, orphans, crippling poverty. Are there needs in her ministry? Yes. Physical needs, yes. Spiritual needs, huge ones. And so naturally, she asks her supporters to pray for her. But before she asks for prayer, she has a little section where she asks all of her supporters,
bye-bye,
to thank God. To thank God every newsletter. This woman who has so many needs around her. She starts off every praise or prayer section asking you and me to praise God for the good things that He is already doing. Again, a woman who has many needs around her, both physical and spiritual, but this is a woman who is not blind to all that God has done for her, of all that she has to be thankful for in Christ. I would simply remind you this evening of everything that you have to be thankful for in Christ. And I would remind you especially of verses 1 and 2, of all the spiritual riches that you have in Christ. Verses 1 and 2 of the life that is in Christ. Verse 2 of the grace, of the mercy, and of the peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You have oodles to be thankful for. So let your prayers be full of thanksgiving. Every day, there are spiritual riches. Paul writes in another letter. Again, God in heaven could have doled out just a few of these riches. But now Paul writes in that other letter that God has given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not just a few. He's not stingy. Every spiritual blessing. So let me challenge those of you in here who are a little younger than the rest of us. For our young people. Yeah, that's right. Young people. Now, I know you because I was a kid once. And when I prayed, which was very infrequently, you should not be like me when I was a kid, not a covenant household, but anyway, when I prayed, and I'm betting when you pray too, sometimes your prayers will sound the same. God, please give me this thing. God, please protect me, protect my family. God, please bless me. And those are good biblical prayers, right? I'm not taking away from that. Those are good biblical prayers, and you should pray those things. But you should pray for other things too. Again, as young people, I'm betting that you're challenged to only pray, God give me, God bless me, God protect me. God give me, God bless me, God protect me. So my challenge to you, and not just the young people, but for all of us too, we all fall into this. But thank God once a day for something spiritual.
Something spiritual that God has done. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for salvation. Once a day, again, don't rush to those requests, but start your prayer with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for something that God has already done. If you are a believer, you have tons and tons to be thankful for. You have ample reason to give thanks to God. You're in the church. It's a spiritual orchard. You should see fruit all around you. Thank God for that fruit. And if you have spiritual blessings, which if you are a Christian, you most certainly do, give thanks to God for those spiritual blessings. Let thanksgiving, not griping, not moaning, let thanksgiving be on our lips and in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this sermon. We thank you for the salvation that is ours in Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit whom you have given us. We pray, God, that you would make us more thankful for all that you have given us. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Everybody turn to